Good morning. Singing Oh Holy Night on a Sunday worship, that's pretty special. I haven't done it for years. You bring a tear to my eyes. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much is wrong, but remember you, our Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. How were you affected by the Taipo fires? More than 160 people died as of this week, of which more than a quarter were foreign mates. I cried daily for a week for them. I was told one of the Indonesian maids came to our Indonesian worship once. She's a Muslim. My mainland co-worker, after the fires, told me he wants to remain in Hong Kong for ministry. And my relatives in USA, on the day of the fire, texted the family group and say, Happy Thanksgiving in USA. And I said, very hard in Hong Kong. And a worker, a Yanfu co-worker was in USA on the day of the fires. After he came back, he told me, I only want to go back to Hong Kong. And this week, his staff told me he was very sad. I asked him, how is he? He said, now I'm okay. You know, life is never short of fires, floods, feuds with people, foes, and even foul play. I'm sure every one of you have seen how sinful people are. They're swindlers, they're scoundrels, they're scammers. Life is never short of them. And as news progress, we see there are a lot of crime committed. We see there's a lot of crooked people. And we see there are a lot of people who are corrupt. Now, we as Christians, how are we to face all these problems? Philip Yancey, in a book, very popular book, once said, where is God when it hurts? And how do we go through all the sufferings and struggles of life? The church, on Friday, 2 days after the fire, had a prayer meeting. And from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, they have short half-hour prayers. The text they used was Psalm 46. And at night, they have a prayer meeting, and the text used was Psalm 46. So I have prepared Psalm 57, and I changed it to Psalm 46 for the day in 10 days. So let's go to Psalm 46 and see what the text says. The first point I want to make is that in times of trouble, tragedy, God is present to assist. God is present to assist. Let's read verses 1 through 3. 1, 2, 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gave way and the mountains fall into the heart of sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. A Yanfu co-worker, sister, happened to stay in the first block when the fires, in the fires. And they've lived there for a few years. And Wednesday is the day that the sister's son has his day off. Because he works at the night shift, he's usually sleeping on Wednesday afternoon. So what happened to them? A few months ago, they planned a trip to Japan. And the father left for Japan on Tuesday before the fires. And the mother and the son left Sunday before for their family. So, praise the Lord, by the grace of God, they escaped the fire. And the co-worker texted her sister about 3 to 4 o'clock on the first day of the fires. Said, "Sister, your apartment is on fire." And she read the news and said, "I think so." And so, but thankfully, because they are on a vacation, they have their documents, passport with them, which is very, very important. And there's nothing much they could do. But coming back, there's still a lot of challenges. Looking for housing, because government's housing is a short tenure. So, in terms of this, we turn to the Bible. And Psalms 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." This is only the second time the word refuge appears in the Bible. You wouldn't believe where the first time this word occurs in the Bible. The most suffering person in the Bible. Who is he? Job. Okay. Job was the first person to use this word. And what does it mean to be God is a refuge? God is an anchor. Okay. He is a refuge is accommodation. In times of tragedy, we need a place to stay. It's an arrangement. He is available and he's an asylum. And the second word is strength. Can you show the chart? Okay. Now, strength occurs for 92 times in the Bible, out of which half of them is in the Psalms. And this is how we see the words refuge, strength, and help. Refuge is a shelter. Strength is the security. Help is the he's our support. Refuge is the accommodation. Strength is his assertion for us. Help is his assistance to us. Refuge is a place. Strength is his power. Help is his provision. Refuge is his residence, a place of residence. Strength is his reliability. And ever-present help is his resources to us. Now, you might be surprised if we go back to the text. Okay. Now, verse 1, there's a verb in verse 1 which is not the verb you think. Which word do you think is the verb? Not help. Okay. The verb is present. What's the word present? What does it mean? That he's always available. You can always find him. He's faithful. He's findable. Okay. And the word ever is not ever, it's much. He's much available for us in our time of need. Okay. And so God is active. God is available to us. And God is attentive to our needs. Okay. And the next verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea." Now, I like this, we will not fear. We shall not fear. Usually the Bible likes to use a lot of imperatives, a lot of commands. Do not fear, like Joshua used to say it. But this is not an imperative. And usually the Bible uses a lot of other commands like Joseph, make it more command. But this is not. This is just a normal verb. We shall not fear. Why? Because it's just a calm statement, to some reminder for us in times of trouble. Okay, it's our resolve. It is our response. We have to get ready, and we have to be resilient in all the troubles and tragedies of life. So we don't need the Bible to command us, "Do not fear," but you should always remind your heart that no matter what happens, okay, we shall not fear. Do you know what what people say fear stands for, F-E-A-R. Forget everything and run. We shall not forget everything and run. This is from AI. Okay, let's read together. We shall not fear means choosing faith over panic, trusting God's presence and strength to overcome challenges, and acting with courage despite uncertainty. Not the absence of feeling fear, but the resolve to move forward with hope, relying on divine protection and purpose. It's a call to stand firm, knowing that God provides power, love, and guidance, making fear unwarranted because He is greater than any worldly threat. Okay, let's go back to the text. And the text says, it's very surprising. Do you see the word though? It occurs four times, right? Twice in verse 2 and verse 3. But in the original Hebrew text, it's only in verse 2. Okay? Though the earth give way. Give way means change. And the mountains fall. Fall means collapse. Okay? And here it says that, whereas verse 3, there's no though, okay, but it's continue the understanding of verse 2. Okay? So verse 3 is connected. The word change is talk about circumstances, even the content change. Okay? But the word fall away means collapse, crumble. Even when all these things, even your whole world turned upside down, okay, we will not fear. Isn't that a great statement? Not a command, but remind you that even everything in life changes. Okay, even family changes, Hong Kong changes, the world changes. We shall not fear. Because why? God is our refuge, our strength, and ever present help in trouble. So that's why. And verse 3 has three verbs, roar, foam, and quake. Can go to the next PT. Roar is the sound, okay? Foam is the ferment, okay? Foam is spouted out, okay? Quake is to shake. And roar is thunder, the verb, okay? Foam is actually throwing up, okay? And quake is tremor. So in all these things happening, we should continue to trust in the Lord, okay? And you know it's very, very hard, okay? But because God is our refuge, okay? Job has gone through extreme suffering and setbacks, but he coined the word refuge. So we can always depend on God because He's present to assist. The second point from Psalms 46 is God is powerful to abide. He is powerful. Not only is He present, and He will stay with us. Let's read verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Jacob is our fortress. One of the most famous desert fathers in Christianity is called Abba Anthony from Egypt. And one day, Abba Anthony was thinking about how deep the judgments of God. And he asked the Lord, Lord, how is it that some die when they're young, while others drag on to extreme old age? Why are there those who are poor and those who are rich? Why do make a man prosper, and why are the just people in need he heard a voice from God answering him, "Anthony, keep your attention on yourself. These things are according to the judgment of God, and it's not your advantage to know anything about them." It's very, very hard, right? Nobody has the answers except God. But in verse 4, it says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Now, Psalms here compare the presence of God to streams of water in a city. Okay. Now, river, water, and streams are very important to early mankind in history and life. Crucial and very critical. Most cities are built near the rivers in the early days. And it's very important to live near the river because of life, living, livelihood, livability, and livestock. They all need water. Okay. Because of these streams of water, people live there are happy. They have a good life, quite content. By the way, I live in an island, okay, overlooking the coast of Samjiang. You know where I live, right? And I open my window with a little bit of a... There's streams of river. And I'm happy to stay there. Maybe forever. So river has always been important and indispensable. In the Bible too. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 10, there's a river in Eden. And Revelation chapter 22 verse 1, in the future, when we are with God, there's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, that comes out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And further, the last few times I preach about Psalms 24:4, God created the world and established it upon the waters. So water life is very important in the Bible. And here it says that God is within her, the city, and she will not fall. The fall, the word, occurs three times. That's why my title is "I Shall Not Be Moved." Because God is with us, we shall not fall. Okay, fall, sometimes in the Bible, is translated as slip, slide, or shake. Because God is with us, he will not fall. Okay. Now, while the city implied is the future city or the historical Jerusalem, but the city is not mentioned by name. Because it could be any city, any country, or any continent, and God is present. Now, I like verse 5. God is within her. She will not fall. Now, in Hebrew, it's not within. In Hebrew, it's God is in her. Now, why is in her so special? In her means direct involvement, not just with her. With her is more like an outside influence. Okay, and on the inside, and integral. God is in us, like Emmanuel. God is with us. Okay, and so... with, the word suggests might influential, but really on the outside. And so this word is "she will not fall." The "not" is not the usual "not" that occurs thousands of times in the Bible. Okay, but this very regular "not," "never," or "not at all," because God is in us, the city will not fall. Now it doesn't mean that the city, whatever city, historical or future, will not stumble, will not stagger, will not strain, will not suffer, but not fall. Fall means there will be no downfall, not defeated, not disgraced, not destroyed, and not discarded, because God is our present help. Now, readers might be surprised at the word "break." The word "break" seems like it's a normal noun, right? But in Hebrew, it's a verb. What does the word "break" means? The word break is actually a very regular word called phase. The phase. Okay, this is the phase. So the phase becomes a verb. God will help her face the day. Get it? The break of day is God's help her face the day. So it means that whatever that's gone wrong in the world, God will help you face the future, face the frustrations, face the fallout, face the futility, face the fears. This is God's promise. God did not promise there will be no problems in our life. Okay? But he promised his presence in our life. And because the Lord is with us, the earth melts in verse 5. Okay? Nations, kingdoms, governments, kings, they will all fall. In the presence of the Lord, the earth melts. The earth melts occur only in one book in the Bible, which is Joshua. When Joshua went to conquer the land, when they went to Jericho, they hear the people, the earth melts. Okay? Melts, what does melt mean? Dissolve. Okay, they'll disintegrate. Okay, they will dissipate, they will diffuse, and they will be deadened in the Lord's presence. So, God is present to aid us, and not only present, he's powerful. Okay? Sometimes you forget how powerful the Lord is. Now, last month, October the 1st, I limped. Suddenly, in the MTR, I couldn't walk. So I prayed, Lord, only you take me. At least I go back to my apartment. I don't ask for anything. And then I went to the doctor, x-ray, and said that I have osteoarthritis. I don't know what is it in Chinese, forget anymore. 关节炎, feng sub. So I had to train my knees again. Today is the best day since, okay, it's been 5 weeks. So what do? I have to use one leg lying on my back and raise 9 kilograms of bottled waters. 9 kilograms. Can you imagine the pain, the punishment, and the problems? Now we see as the world goes wrong and we say, God is so unfair. But one day, pain, punishment, and problems will be inflicted upon that way. And on that day, don't rejoice. You will also grieve because you see how hard people suffer. But remember, our Lord is always powerful. You don't see his power because you're human, you're mankind, you're puny. If you can see it, that means you're powerful too, but you're not. Okay, but we can, by faith, we entrust the Lord. And finally, God is patient to act. Okay. Last point, God is patient to act. Okay, let's read together. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. It's our fortress. Once upon a time, there was a man by the name of Thomas Kempis, and he wrote one devotional book called The Imitation of Christ that outsells every other devotional book in the Bible. And this is what he said about the patience of Christ. Next one. Okay, let's read together. He is not truly a patient person who's only willing to suffer as much as he chooses and from whom he pleases. The truly patient person does not care by whom he is tried, whether by a superior or by someone equal or inferior, whether by a good and holy person or by a perverse and worthless one. No matter how much or how often anything bad happens to him, and whatever creature in this world might be his cause, he takes it all from God's hand gratefully and considers it a great gain. For nothing suffered for God's sake, no matter how small it may be, goes without its reward. So be prepared to fight if you want to have the victory. You cannot gain the crown of patience without a struggle. If you will not suffer, you refuse to bow. But you wanted to be crowned, fight bravely, endure patiently. Without labor, there's no rest. Without struggle, there's no victory. So we have to learn to be patient. And much as we say, God, why don't you send your judgment now? But God says, patient. I am patient so that the world can repent, so that many people can come to Christ. There are a few quotes, next points. See if I have one. Next PPT. Oh, okay. There are some quotes I like to. Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. Our patience will achieve more than our force. And Tolstoy once said, the strongest of all warriors are these two, time and patience. Now, the last section is the climax. Climax, as you see with the red words, are the imperatives, the commands that usually put at the back to tell you the climax. Come, see, be still, and know. And, okay. Come, see the works of the Lord. Now, verse 8, if you have the Bible, you see, come, see the works of the Lord. Now, the word works occurs for the first time in the Bible. Can you imagine Genesis up to Psalms? So many words spilled. But this is the first time the word works of the Lord. Work is plural, okay? What does it mean? Works in the Bible, in this particular instance, it talks about a performance. When God acts, it is a performance, okay? It's a sight to behold. It's a showstopper, okay? It's a spectacle. Actually, I don't want to see the whole works of the Lord at this time, okay? Because it's too much for you to see, okay? And it's qualified by three verbs: break, shatter, and burn. Go back to the text before, okay? See this? He breaks, shatters, and burns. How is it different? Break is to smash, the spear is to shatter, and the fire is the smoke. Okay. So you don't want the Lord, you don't want to see the books of the Lord so soon, because you might end up seeing a lot of friends and relatives, you really want them to be safe, not safe. But anyway, God says, come and see the works of the Lord. Go back to the chart, next chart. Okay, now how is this different? Come is to assemble together. See is to ascertain for yourself. Be still is to abide in Him. Know is to acknowledge that He is God. Okay, come is for our wandering heart to return to Him. See is to recognize or identify what He's doing. Be still means restrain yourself. Know is to realize and understand. Come is a call for us. See is to concentrate on God's work, okay? Be still means to be calm, and know means to be committed to Him no matter what happens in our life, okay? And another important thing is be still. The word, this word, this imperative, you sing the songs a lot, right? Be still, but this is the only time it occurs in the Bible, okay? So, what it means, be still, actually is not still. The word means be faint, be feeble. You'll be surprised, okay? Even fail, not to fight it, okay? Not to force it, and not to fear it. So, God asks you to be still means that you just let Him act. Don't fight it for yourself, okay? Don't fight anyone for it, okay? And it gives us an important reason, back to the text, in verse 10, there's a very important debt in the Bible. It's called for. For I am God, I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord God is mighty, this earth is our fortress. So, it's not because anything you can do, but because of the Lord. Okay, He will be exalted. What does exalted means? He will be esteemed. He will be eminent, okay? And he will be extolled among the nations. He will be elevated most high, like the fortress, okay? And he will be proclaimed, okay? And he will be promoted, and he will be prominent in the earth. We cannot fight. I got osteoarthritis, cannot fight anymore, okay? But the Lord is our battle, and we can trust in him through all times. Oh, I have an application too, I forgot. Almost wanted to end the pack. Next one. And okay. Now, for such a time as this is taken from Esther, when she has to act, you know, when the nation needed her. Now, in times like this, what are we to do? What is the first thing? Stir up. Okay. Have you cried this few days for the typo fires? I hope you do. I hope you stir up for it. Because this is your city. The people are with you. If you don't have emotions for them, I suspect something is wrong. Sometimes people think, I am the problem because I cry. Okay. But if you're not stirred up, you don't connect with people. You don't have the same feelings and emotions and difficulties people go through. Okay. Stir up. What's the second one? Your spiritual preparation. Shape up, okay? Many of us are living life away from God. We don't care about people. We don't see people living their lives hopeless. But through these fires, sometimes God shapes us up to serve the Lord more, to serve people more, and to be more patient, not so proud, to be humble. I learned more about the foreign maids a lot this week. They are just like any other person. They just come here to serve people. They serve and they go send money back. So you need to be connect to people. What's the next one? Huh? Show, no. No, show up. Okay. Someone once said 90% of caring is showing up. Huh? Repeat after me. 90% of caring is showing up. Okay? Have you show up for people? Uh-huh. Have you cared for them? Have you applied your care to them? Not just feel, but to show up for them. Okay? A lot of people in grief. So I try to ask them, how are you? And just take them out and talk to them. Roger came back, talked to him a lot. Yeah, he's a woke up. This one I want to correct myself and use the word TST. I don't want SP because I might be in trouble. I actually attended to speak up, but now it's not. Now Hong Kong is very sensitive. So I use the word ST. Stand up, okay? Stand up is more inclusive for everything. Okay, you stand up for people. You stand up for maids. You stand up for people in typo. You stand up for people who agree. This is a social thing to do. Okay, you know Chinese very very hard to ask people how are you doing. How it's very hard to care. Okay, we prevent life. It just goes on. Okay, the last one. I love it. Huh? For the young people, what's the last one? Save up. Okay, I have a song. Young people from many groups used to, he wrote a song for me. And this song is for Pastor Yap, Saving is Sharing. They have a line called Saving is Sharing. So you save up not because you buy your iPhone. Okay? The Bible teaches those who have not worked to work so that they can share with those in need. Okay? So you, on the other hand, try to be, this is Christmas time, right? It's time for sharing. So you don't have anything saved up. How are you going to share? Okay, you still share by giving fruits, okay? But you try to save up in the future, certainly use it for emergencies. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's good to know, Lord, you are our refuge, our strength, and our present help in times of trouble. You help us to face the future, and you help us to help other people who are in need. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful reminder. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.